Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Hi, everybody. Do you ever watch those shows where it's like Saturday Night Live just happened, the most recent episode where somebody starts laughing and then you can't stop laughing?
Oh, absolutely.
And so then you can't remember your lines and they're all losing it. So that happened on the latest episode of Saturday Night Live where they're all cracking up on this one scene. So those of you behind the scenes that are
We're on take number four
because Scott and I couldn't stop laughing.
So I got to tell you, just and I know we're not doing a whole lot of pre-show stuff.
I know
preamble stuff, but I got to tell you, I used to do live theater as an actor.
Oh, yes.
And once you get into a show that's long running, right, it becomes the same old thing for the actors that are out there.
Yeah.
And so we used to have some fun with each other, like, what could you do out of sight of the audience? But like, maybe you would mess with a prop, or we would whisper lines that were actually rude and insulting to see if you could set the other person off while on stage. There's all kinds of stuff. And once you get the giggles, it's so hard to stop.
You can't stop, right? Oh, one time, you know, my dad was a pastor, right? So just imagine me in the audience, his daughter, and he's trying to give some sermon, some blustery sermon about some important thing, like we're all going to die. And my friends and I are passing notes and somebody made me laugh and I could not stop laughing. And I'm one of those people that when I start laughing, my shoulders shake. So even if I'm making no noise, my whole body shakes. So I'm just in the audience and he called me out from the pulpit. Well, I mean, with the pulpit once. He basically corrected us.
There you go. By the way, as we're talking about this, one of the things that immediately pops into my head, and I'm old enough to remember Soupy Sales. And I don't know, right? This is live television, folks.
Yes.
Black and white live television. And if any of you ever have a chance, go look up Soupy Sales and the Naked Lady. And thankfully the camera folks, the director, knew to place the camera angle so that they couldn't see what was behind the door. So periodically Soupy Sales would have a surprise visitor on the set. Only this time it was a naked lady, and he opened the door, and what you see, all you see now is him laughing. He is like, this is live television.
Oh man.
With censorship like you wouldn't believe, right?
Oh man.
So it was pretty funny.
You know, like outtakes are one of my favorite things to watch on a movie. But
absolutely.
Anyway,
all right, today,
we're trying to make our format a little shorter for you guys. So hopefully you're appreciating the shorter preambles, but we couldn't help it today.
So today we're actually talking about the power of napping, something very near and dear to your heart, and something that I have looked at scientifically.
I'm so excited. I'll try not to nap in the middle of this podcast.
So do you take naps?
You know, I struggle a lot with sleep now that I've entered perimenopause and menopause. I'm not going to lie. So napping is something I used to love to do and I struggle to do, but I will fall asleep briefly while watching TV. And it is the most delicious little nap that I can get. And when it happens, I just beg Brian not to turn off the dang TV, because as soon as noise changes or anything changes, I wake up. I'm so sensitive to sound. I wake up. But I love napping. One time, we found this antenna channel called the Zen channel. And all it does is have sort of this, I think, AI generated a water flowing ocean kind of stuff with this zenny kind of music. And when we do want a nap, he'll put it on, and that has worked for my napping. So I can do it occasionally, but I do love napping.
So the interesting thing, I grew up around people who napped. My dad in particular was a big believer in power napping.
Yeah.
And I think most of society, at least here in the West, right, we have siestas, depending on where you are in the country, and breaks during the day, depending on where you are in the world. But I think most of us here in the West think about naps for old people.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that there's such the reason we called it the power of napping is that there are just so many benefits to it. Mm-hmm. And I've got some little secrets that I do. Now, I routinely take nap. I just tell you my nap schedule. Mm-hmm. I do take power naps to the extent that my schedule permits. There are times if I'm doing a live event or a gig or whatever, obviously I can't do that. So it's not something, I can't tell you it's something that is habitual, but it is something I aspire to do constantly because of the benefits that I've always seen just in my own family and that I've experienced myself. That said, my naps are about 11 minutes long.
Wow.
And I know other people, right? Their naps are like 2 hours.
Yeah. If I nap that long, 2 hours, or if I take a nap after, and this is true of the sleep research, if you take a nap starting after about 4 o'clock or even 3:30, it will affect your sleep at night. So I don't nap.
So what I thought late. We would start at, because you just said that, this is a great segue into where I thought we would start with today's show. And that's the concept of circadian rhythms.
Yes.
And I don't know that most people even know that term anymore, right? It was a thing as I was growing up. But circadian rhythms are how you operate, how your body responds, your mental acuity responds, your emotions respond in any given 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. And you have highs and you have lows. So this is very important when it comes to programming your nap. In fact, I will tell you one of the things that I have found personally is that the worst thing to do is to wait till you start dozing off in the middle of a meeting. That's that just means you're exhausted.
That's exhaustion.
And it's
or falling asleep while driving. Not good.
So this is not power napping, particularly while you're driving.
No.
And so again, your circadian rhythms, as I understand them, they can be affected by the sound, the ambient noise in the background. They can be affected by the light source, right? You take I will tell you, I can sleep just about anywhere.
I'm so jealous.
And I, you know, alternatively,
I need like precise, and then I can.
I know people wear sleep masks, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But your circadian rhythms, it can be everything from food intake to what your health is doing. Have you, has there been physical activity? So I can tell you if I want to take a nap and I decide to go to the gym instead, I don't miss the map. Then I start getting pumped up. So it's just everything. And I can tell you for me, for example, temperature, actually, while light may affect somebody, temperature, I need it cold. I actually have a cooling blanket.
Most of us do.
And a lot of people will stick their leg out, right? That's a temperature control for what you're doing. Having a fan on, that little gentle hum and then the movement of the air can affect all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I sleep, very rarely do I use an alarm because I happen to be one of those people that can picture a clock in my head. I'm very visual, right? We've talked about this. I can picture a clock in my head and save and except for time changes. They're getting
like recently.
They're getting tougher. I'll tell you that. They're just getting tougher. Once I get acclimated to the time change, I can tell myself wake up at 7:30 and I'm up at 7:25, 5 minutes before. It's the same thing with napping. I don't set an alarm. I know some people do. I know damn well my nap is going to be anywhere between 10 and 13 minutes. I know it.
Wow. Wow.
Right? Close my eyes and wake up. I also want to underscore that studies have shown even if you can't sleep, even if you lay there and relax and close your eyes, there's still a benefit to that.
Yes, there is.
Downsize. So, yes. You know, from a mental health standpoint, I don't know if you wanted, before we get into actually how to nap, I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to cover as far as the benefits of napping.
Yeah, just real briefly. So several studies have shown that mood can be improved with napping. You can reduce fatigue actually with napping. It increases alertness. You can have better memory. You can have decreased reaction time. If you're kind of reactive to things too quickly or you're shaky, it's good for your heart, reduces stress, helps your brain function better, and overall is can improve performance too. So it can improve like how well you're doing during the day. It's got a lot of great benefits taking a short nap. They used to call them disco naps before you'd go out to the disco.
See, I always heard them called cat naps.
Well, there were cat naps too. Cat naps, disco naps. Yeah. Cat naps are another one that I've heard.
So, you know, I'm a peak performance aficionado. I love things that help us perform better on a variety of different levels. Doesn't mean I'm an expert at it, but it's something that, again, I aspire to. So I'm always chewing this up. And many of you have heard me on the show talk about, I've always wanted to be an astronaut. Whatever, just send me into space, I will be home there, right? So it should come as no surprise that one of the things I wanted to know. So here's a great example. The recent Dragon launch for SpaceX, I mentioned it in the last show. I'm sitting here watching the pre-liftoff show. I don't know how else to describe it. And the pre-launch protocol is 4 freaking hours long.
We're not
talking like you show up a half hour before showtime and walk on stage. It's 4 hours.
Oh yeah. And it's so, like the Oscars. It takes 4 hours for people to go into the Oscars.
And so it immediately reminded me, I don't know why my head went there, but Neil Gaiman's book, American Gods, they did a TV show on it. And one of the gods, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes for those of you because you can't see me. One of the air quote gods, his comment was, I can sleep anywhere. And he's on a train. He closes his eyes, puts his head down. He's gone.
It's amazing. I'm so jealous. I used to be that way.
And so I'm immediately at the 4 hour pre-lunch protocol saying, God, they got to be taking a freaking nap in here somewhere pre-launch, right?
Yeah.
So it happens that before that, it goes way back, I've always wondered, what do astronauts do? Because they need astronauts at their peak. And so it turns out that NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has done wonderful studies on what they call the NASA nap. And it was originally developed to give NASA astronauts a 40-minute window to take a nap. That was the original concept, 40-minute window. And the whole concept behind the nap was to make sure that the pilot, among other things, the commander, did not suffer from sleep inertia. They weren't sluggish through the whole experience. It improved their job performance, because that's what it is, a job, and it maximized their alertness. And I was hooked at that point, right? It's like, oh my God, you know, what a great thing to do. And so going through it, I just cut to the chase. The interesting thing is NASA has determined that the maximum, I shouldn't say the maximum, the ideal nap length is 26 minutes.
Makes sense.
I mean, we're down to 26 minutes. I can tell you mine's like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that the naps, when and ultimately, and I'm making this very concise and summarizing a couple different studies together, but that naps under 30 minutes actually improve your alertness.
Makes sense.
And obviously there's a built-in, for some of you, there's a built-in fall asleep time.
Yes, there is. Takes time to wind down and be ready to sleep. And, yes.
You know, not all of us. I happen to be very fortunate that I can lay down and say I'm sleeping now and I'm out. it's just, I've always been that way. However, NASA says 6 minutes to fall asleep. That's the key. You know, just, and you just tell yourself, it's going to take me some time to fall asleep. The fun thing is that with sleep studies, particularly some of the sleep institutes, they're all over what you're doing, and that's having ambient noise or sound, something, right? And it's a rhythmic, it's a rhythmic sound in order to cut back the ruminations.
That's right. That's what I need.
And it's what I call, it's a pattern interrupt is what I call it.
Yep, it
is. So the other thing that I learned along the way, and not all the studies show this, but I learned this very early on, again, from studying the NASA stuff, is to drink coffee right before the nap.
Oh, a coffee nap. Yes. I learned this from Brian's sister, Sharon, Brian used to laugh at me all the time because he would bring me coffee early in bed and I'd go, oh, great. Then I can fall back asleep. And Sharon had to tell him, she's a biochemist and a scientist. Oh, and a listener of our show. Hi, Sharon, if you're listening. She told him, no, it's studied. It's called a caffeine.
It's a thing. Yeah.
It's a thing.
And the reason is, by the way, not only does the caffeine help bring you out of the nap, but it's much like, at least that I've experienced, much like when I drink caffeine right before a workout. It helps. Ah, okay. It helps with your whole system and the way it's working. And, you know, not everybody, but again, I happen to be one of those people. I wake up in the morning, I get out of frickin' bed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I literally spring out of bed.
It's amazing.
And I urge all of you, you don't have to do it in the morning when you wake up from a full night, you know, blissful sleep. It's, you know, at least your nap. Lay down. It's a job. Lay down, do your nap, wake up, get out of freaking bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So short naps. Right. Again, NASA is 26 minutes, Scott's 11 minutes, but keep it short. And at the very least, almost every study that I have found says at the very least, it's under 30 minutes is a nap.
Under 30.
Which means if you need to set an alarm, you know, there's nothing that says you can't have an alarm for a nap. You certainly can't.
Right.
Consuming caffeine, and it's right before. Now, here's the little trick that I've learned. If I'm going to go work out, I want to drink the caffeine about 45 minutes before my workout.
Right.
Why? Because the caffeine, it takes about 45 minutes for the caffeine to kick in.
Uh-huh.
And I want that caffeine high while I'm working out so that it affects my overall performance. And I mean, it just does a lot of things, the alertness, et cetera. I certainly do not want the caffeine high while I'm sleeping, because it won't do that.
No.
So I will generally drink coffee. For me, it's coffee. I know some people drink energy drinks, etc. Those just taste like cough syrup to me. It's coffee right before the nap, and then it kicks in right after the nap.
Now it's like a double whammy.
Right. So in my case, you know, if I drink it right before, and it takes 45 minutes to kick in, even if it's a 30-minute nap, let's say, right? The caffeine isn't kicking in until right after the nap is done. So you get the restful benefits.
Right.
And then you get the high.
Right.
And then
it's a beautiful thing.
And then the last, exactly, the last little tip is, unless you're one of those American gods, you know, find a sleep-friendly place. I have a place that I take naps.
Ah.
And it's just a different nap than if I fall asleep in a chair, which I don't think I don't think I've done in forever, right? I can't, by the way, I'm not one of those people who can watch TV. That just wires me out. I can't read a book. Oh, that just wires me. Well, because my head is so involved.
Yeah, no. Sudoku, reading, and watching TV help lull me. I'm just a weird person that way.
Mm-hmm. And again, see, and this is finding not only your sleep-friendly place, but finding your sleep-friendly protocol.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And everybody's different. It's not a judgment thing. I know, by the way, that we've talked about it on when we talk about sleep deprivation on the show, we've talked about the detriments that some people say of looking at your computer screen or your phone before you go to bed,
before
right? Because of the white light.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I read emails before I literally will pick up the phone, look at my emails, lay it down, and go to sleep.
To avoid murder, stop bragging.
No, it's not bragging.
No, I know you're not.
Understand what it's doing for me, though. So I'm going to why things work, right?
Yeah, of course.
What and in my head, it's why are they saying that white light or blue light, but why is it that the light is supposed to be detrimental for you? Well, it's because under the circadian rhythm concept, right, the light makes your brain think it's daytime, wake up, don't sleep, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Here's the overriding programming loop that goes through Scott's brain. And I'm sure some of the listeners can feel this. I'm constantly thinking, okay, what's going to happen next? What email is coming? What am I expecting? What's my scheduling like? What's this, that? What are my obligations?
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at an email right before I take an 11-minute freaking nap, I'm getting everything off my plate. So I'm at that place where there are no obligations. Nobody needs me. I don't have to think about it. And so the worry level is pulled off.
I see.
I mean, I don't do it often, but I've been known to look at the freaking newspaper right before going to bed online. So I get the white light and I get all the drama.
Again, murder is a good option right now.
Well, I say this because
you're so far away from me right now.
I don't want everybody to think that napping is a one size fits all for everybody.
It's not. And that's the thing about insomnia and sleep. It is very personal. You've got to figure out, and not only do you have to figure out your stuff, you have to look at how it changes as you age, because like I said, I used to be able to do naps pretty easily. Now it takes a special set of circumstances. I used to sleep through the night easily. Now it takes a special set of circumstances. I used to need more sleep. Now I'm finding that I need less sleep to be more functional. And so I've stopped trying to make myself have the 9 hours of sleep that I used to get, because I'm doing much better on 6 and 7 hours than I did when I was younger.
Well, you know me, right? My whole night is a series of naps.
It sounds like it. Yes.
The other thing I want to mention here is something I do religiously, and it's because, again, of my scheduling, I will never take a nap too late in the day, because that I do find affects my nighttime sleep.
Yes, and it does. The research does show that.
Naps for me are about, like, you know, here it's 10:30 in the morning. I wouldn't take one in the morning unless I'm not feeling well or whatever. For me, a good power nap, like
afternoon,
1:30, 2:00,
3:00, like siesta, like they would do in a lot of countries. After lunch, they would have a siesta. This would be a pretty common occurrence. And sometimes it would be the heat of the day. So if you think about our world having less electricity and less unnatural light and less unnatural heat control, a siesta in the middle of the day saves you from working in the heat of the day and helps you work and get your things done later in the day when it's starting to cool off. So it's also protective from a natural standpoint.
Yeah. You know, the other thing And I've never really thought about it this way because I've never been, you know, I know you love what you were saying. It's like, Scott, death is a good option for you with all these things you're bragging about. But I'm listening to you. It's like, I don't even know what a freaking 7 to 8 hour sleep is. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm wondering what that would feel like.
That man can go to bed. He goes to bed. He sleeps 7-8 hours. He wakes up without an alarm. He doesn't even dream. So he like wakes up rested. I run marathons in my dream. I am a CIA agent in my dream. I'm so tired when I wake up sometimes.
I get end of the world dreams. It's really wonderful.
Invasions
from the bad planets. Right. There are good planets. There are bad planets. The bad planets are invading. You pick it. I get those things.
Yes.
Here's the one thing I've learned, that if you're not someone who is getting 7 to 8 hours of blissful, wonderful, restful, invigorating sleep, a nap isn't going to make up for that.
No,
it doesn't count towards the 7 hours.
No, it doesn't. No. It'll just help you function more in your day. That's it. It rests your brain, gives your brain a little boost.
Yeah. And so the other thing that I've learned, there are times when we've all had them, right? You have this 10-minute nap, or let's say a 26-minute nap, according to NASA. And you wake up and it's like, God, that feels great, right?
Yes.
We've all had that feeling. And we've all had that feeling. You wake up and it's like, I wish I had never gone to sleep. I feel worse than I did when I, right? It's like, anybody got the number of that truck?
It just ran over me. But typically, even when I feel that way after a nap, like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have napped. I'm so tired. Because it will happen when I have a long day of work and like a dinner break between my evening clients and my daytime clients. I will sometimes take a nap right before my evening clients start. So I'll wake up kind of groggy, but I do really great work. My brain is fresh. So you shake off that feeling after maybe 10 minutes of waking up, and my brain is firing. I'm awake. So it does take a little bit of time to shake off the sleep for me, but typically it really has a positive effect.
Yeah. And I think that's true. Now, the other thing, and I have no experience with this, but in researching for the show, I did find a very interesting research from China where they said that there are some drawbacks to napping if you nap too long. And it was primarily in women, not men.
Oh, really? What did they find?
That napping for women over 45, that if they napped more than 90 minutes, which just baffles my brain anyway, but anything, it increases their blood pressure.
Well, yeah. I don't like the feeling whenever I nap long. That's why I will set an alarm that's longer than I think I'm going to nap, but still makes me not miss an appointment and doesn't get me to like a 90 minute. So usually it's like at the 45 minute mark or maybe 60, because I'm giving myself more time to wind down and get into the nap. But I definitely do not want to nap longer than 45 minutes or so, because it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't. And so this kind of brings me to the last thing I wanted to cover to make sure that listeners understand this. Naps don't replace a good sleep at night pattern, right? Again, they're not a replacement for nighttime sleep. The other thing is, if you're still having practice power napping, you're still having daytime fatigue, this is the time to go to a healthcare provider and talk to them about it.
Absolutely.
And find out what's going on, right? You may have sleep apnea, you may have narcolepsy, you may have a lot of other health issues. So I don't want you to think a nap is going to band-aid you through this.
No, this is self-care. It's not healthcare. This is self-care, not healthcare.
Yeah,
healthcare,
that's a good way. It's a good way to put it. So the idea behind the power of napping ultimately at the end here is to make sure that you feel re-energized.
Yes.
And you feel better after you wake up than you did when you went to sleep.
Yes.
If you wake up in the morning and you go, oh my God, I can't wait for a nap.
Yes.
That's a bigger issue. Yes, or if you're waking up and you're still dragging.
Yes.
This is the time that, again, I want you to have enough proactive work in your own self-care.
Yes.
To go see somebody and talk to them about it. Go do a sleep study if you need to do that.
That's right.
But again, everybody raves about power naps. I've seen it and firsthand experienced it. I just think it's a wonderful thing for listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will briefly end with a couple sleep hygiene for those of you that maybe tuned into this because you are having sleeping issues. So definitely go to the doctor and make sure that you don't have something else going on that's affecting you, hormones, nutrition, et cetera. Here's some things to try. Sleep hygiene. Go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. Train your body. It is a trainable thing. Sleep in a cold or cool, dark room. If you need ambient noise, that's fine, but it needs to be free. So think about a cave. Okay. We used to sleep by the fire outside. So that would be cool. Or we would sleep in a cave. Okay. So make your bedroom into a cave and then do things like try showering before bedtime. The cooling off process 30, 45 minutes later tends to help people fall asleep. Try listening to some ambient noise or some sort of thing that you can put on a sleep timer, sleep hypnosis, et cetera. So you can fall asleep if you've got the chattery brain like I do. You can try different things that are over the counter, your melatonin or the Benadryl, but that's not a regular daily thing. If you're doing that every day, it loses its effectiveness and it's a sign that there's something else going on that you may need help with. So those are just some tips for you.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I'll just tell you, you can get dependent. It's not addiction necessarily, but you can become dependent.
Chemically dependent.
On these sleep aids.
Yes.
That said, I'm a big believer in hypnosis. And it certainly works at night. I've never used hypnosis for a nap with one little exception.
There happens to be
one hypnotist, a dear friend of mine. I can't listen to him. I can't listen to him talk. It's very funny. And so every now and then he'll come out with these wonderful little teaching tools. And it's because he was one of my trainers that I start listening to the audio and I wake up literally when he's done. It's like,
I know,
what the hell? So he's one of my secret weapons as far as that. If I ever needed it, I don't use it for napping, but I have used hypnosis at night.
For sleep.
You know, when just there's stuff going on. And it's a nice way, again, for that pattern interrupt to take your mind off everything else. And I happen to be one of those people. I don't like to lay there for 6 minutes going over all these things you got to do. Okay, 6 minutes. Let's see if I count sheep. It's like, that just makes me crazy. I'd rather listen to an outside external source because it pulls me out of what's going on up in my own brain. And then
Yes. Beautiful. Right. Hope this helps you people.
By the way, the reason we're doing this show, which will air on the 12th, is that the 15th is National Napping Day. So what a great day for everybody to put this kind of protocol in place.
Take a nap on the 15th.
Next week.
15th?
Next week, we're going to do the Luck of the Irish and leprechauns and all things shamrocky.
Me lucky pot of gold.
we'll talk about, we'll talk about all that stuff next week. Until then, please remember to like, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. It really does, folks. I mean, please don't just give this lip service. We're doing this as a passion project, but we need to grow what we're doing. And it helps with Spotify and Apple Podcasts and literally all the podcast platforms that we're on. It helps them with their metrics. It helps them promote the show and helps us grow. And it gives us the feedback we're looking for. So until then, happy napping.
Bye-bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice. nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.